Luke chapter 14. And we're coming to the chapter there, verse 16, coming down to the end of verse 25. Then said he unto them, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent a servant of supper team to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. They all with one accord consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. Another said, I have brought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. Another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to the servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes in the city, and bring him in hither, the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. The servant said, Lord, it is done as thou had commanded, and yet there is room. The Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of these men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. And there were great multitudes with him. And he turned and said unto them, we're going to finish the reading there at verse 25. I want to bring 3 passages of scripture to you tonight, dear friends, from Luke's gospel. To me, the 3 passages are consecutive. We've read the first one together here, and I want us just to go down through it here, verse by verse. I want you to see, first of all, here in verse 16, it says, then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bid many. I want you to notice it's the Lord Jesus that is speaking here, and it's a parable. It's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning, and he's speaking here to the people that were with him at that particular time. I want you to see in verse 16, dear friends, first of all, that there was a purposeful preparation. There was a purposeful preparation. It tells me in that verse here that this certain man had made a great supper. I can see this man, dear friends, he would be a wealthy man. He would have servants. He would have everything at his disposal. There's nothing perhaps that he couldn't buy. Someone has gone out perhaps and taken a lamb or maybe an ox or a cow or whatever out of the flock or out of the herd. And that animal had been brought in, would have been slain. It would have been brought in. It would have been prepared. It would have been put perhaps on a spit. There would have been a servant there, and the servant's task would have been just under the animal and the spit there. There would have been a fire, and that servant's task would just be to turn the handle. And as he slowly turned the handle, the ox or the lamb or the sheep, as the case might be, would slowly turn over the open fire. And whenever that animal would be cooked, dear friends, the table would be set. There would be wine on the table. The silverware would be on the table. The servants would be standing there ready to distribute the food to those that would come to the supper. And so there is a purposeful preparation here, as we see it in verse 16. Not only do we see there in that verse a purposeful preparation, we see a powerful invitation, friends, tonight. Notice what it says in the verse in there. Not only does this certain man make a great supper, but he bade many. A powerful invitation tonight. You know, whenever I look at this verse for a moment or two, as I have been doing at home throughout the week, the thought come into my mind today, how big is heaven? How big is heaven? You know, tonight, dear friends, there will not be a vacant place at the marriage supper of the Lamb in heaven. Every seat at that table, those tables, that table would be there filled, line upon line upon line upon line there. Because our Heavenly Father tonight, he has bade many to come to this marriage supper of the Lamb. How often have you sat in this church building and heard a brother Jonathan and other preachers come along here night after night and preach the word of God and give out the invitation perhaps at the end of the meeting to come to saving faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, dear friends, here as we look at this, there's a purposeful presentation, but thank God tonight there's a powerful invitation tonight. The invitation tonight comes from the throne of God himself for men and women tonight that are still in their sin to come to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Purposeful presentation, a powerful invitation. Look at verse 17 if you would with me, please. And we'll see in verse 17 there is a present invitation. Because it tells me in verse 17, it says, come, for all things are now ready. What an invitation tonight, friends. I was thinking about this during the week, you know, and very often there, maybe at home, the postman will come along and he'll put a letter into the letterbox or a card into the letterbox as an invitation perhaps to come to a wedding. And when you and I would get that invitation to come to a wedding, dear friends, the wedding feast wouldn't be ready. It would maybe take some weeks down the line before the wedding would actually take place, before the wedding reception would actually be held. But whenever this invitation comes out here, as we have before us tonight, dear friends, we see that there is no time to be wasted here. There's no time to be wasted here. That the man, this rich man here, this great man here, that has made this marriage supper, this wedding supper, this great supper here, dear friends, he has everything prepared and sitting ready there tonight. You know, whenever I stop and think about that for a moment or two, I have to go back to Calvary. There's nothing more to be done, is there, tonight, as far as Calvary is concerned? Remember the words of our Lord Jesus on the cross when he said, it is finished. It's ready tonight. God's Lamb has been slain tonight. The blood has been shed tonight. The Lord Jesus tonight has been buried and he's risen again and he's exalted and he's at the Father's right hand this evening. And all things are now ready as far as the marriage supper of the Lamb is concerned. It's a present invitation. Come, for all things are now ready. Not only do we see a purposeful presentation there, friends, and a powerful presentation, and a present invitation, but I see something else there in that verse. It's a persistent invitation. He's persistent here. Look at the number of times. I'll read it to you again. Verse 17, he says, and he sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent, began to make excuse. The first said to him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must go needs and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. Verse 19, the other said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. The other said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Notice the number of occasions here that there's been a refusal. Look at verse 21. So that servant came and showed his Lord those things. And then the master of the house, once he knows, been angry. Can you just imagine tonight sending out an invitation to someone and then sending back word to say, no, I can't come, I can't make it. There may be legitimate reasons, perhaps, that you can't make it, but what we're looking at here in verse 18 to 20 are not legitimate reasons, dear friends. They're just excuses tonight. And you know, whenever you and I would be out in the streets here, or out in the doors, or even perhaps in a gospel meeting, such as this, and we're preaching the word of God, it's amazing tonight how many excuses people will come up with to refuse to accept Christ as their Savior. I was speaking to some folk there and Frank Long's there just recently, and some of the reasons for not coming out to a gospel meeting would amaze you, friends, tonight. Why should I go there whenever I can't get the gospel in my own church? Why should I go there when my mother doesn't go? The excuses that there are. And I want you to see in these verses in here, he begged many. He sent his servant. He being angry, sent his servant, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel him to come in. And so we see, dear friends, it was a persistent invitation. Maybe there's someone here tonight in this meeting and you're not saved. And you sat under the sound of the word of God night after night after night, and God has been persistently speaking to you about your need of salvation. God has been saying to you, yes, you need to get saved, you need to get right, you're not right with me. You haven't got that assurance tonight. You don't know the assurance tonight of sins being forgiven. You don't have the assurance tonight, dear friends, of knowing if you leave the scene of time, you're going to go out into eternity to be with Christ, which is far better. And so we see here in these verses, dear friends, tonight, there was a persistent invitation. And then look at verses 18 to 20. Notice what it says, and those verses there again, verse 24, notice what it says. And I say unto you that none of these men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Here we have, dear friends, a pointless invitation here. As far as these men were concerned, it was a pointless invitation. It didn't have any influence on them, friends, tonight. It didn't have any influence on them here. They received the invitation, but that invitation meant nothing to them. They turned their back on that invitation. I think now just for a moment to Isaiah chapter 53. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? The arm of the Lord will never be revealed to you, dear friend, in salvation if you don't believe the word of God. And as far as these people are concerned here that Jesus is speaking about in this parable here, somebody says this, it was a pointless invitation to them. And you may be coming along to church night after night after night and hearing the gospel and hearing the appeal coming from this pulpit. But unless you accept that appeal, accept you respond to that appeal, friends, tonight. It's a pointless appeal. It's a pointless invitation to you tonight. And you turn your back on the word of God. And you turn your back on the Son of God tonight. And you continue to do that tonight, dear friends, you're going into a lost eternity. I want you to see something there in verse 22, if you look at it with me just briefly. And that servant said, Lord, it is done as thou had commanded, and yet there is room. There's a lovely little hymn. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions may come, there's still room for one. There's room at the cross for you. I wonder tonight, have you ever thought of coming to the cross? You've ever come tonight to that place where you realize, yes, I need to bow the knee. I'm not right with God. I'm still in my sin. If I leave the scene of time, I go into a lost eternity. Now, that's the first little thought I want to leave with you. A great invitation to a great supper. Now, if you turn with me to Luke chapter 15, if you would, please. Verse 11 to 24. I want to see something, friends, tonight. A great decision for a great sinner. A great decision for a great sinner. I'm going to read the verses to you. Again, it's a parable. And it's the Lord Jesus that is speaking in the parable here. And this is what he said. A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portions of good that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his field to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, but no one gave unto him. When he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father. And I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of the hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. And when he was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. I want you to see, dear friends, here a great decision for a great sinner. We read in the previous passage that we read together that the people that were invited to the supper, they refused to come. And Jesus said at the end of them, he says, these people who were bidden, who have refused to come, he says, they will not eat at my supper. Here we have a different situation. Here we have this young man. And I can see this situation in the home there. The two brothers in the home. This is the younger of the two brothers. He's not content to be in the home and under the influence of the father. Many a young man is like that. Many young women is like that. I don't know whether you would watch the news or not or read the papers there. You see some young men and some young women, and they would take a year out of university and maybe go to some other land. I'm thinking of a young woman there recently, or some time ago there, was over, I think it was Italy. And that young woman was murdered. Just like this young man here. You see, they get to the stage in their life that people want to go their own way. And this young man here, he's taken all that he can. According to the law there, he would be entitled to one third of a father's wealth. His elder brother would be entitled to two thirds of the wealth. There's this young man that tells me here in verse 13, not many days after, the younger son gathered together and took his journey into a far country, and he wasted his substance with riotous living. And now whenever we come down to verse 18, notice what he says. And it's a great decision. He says, I will arise and go to my father. And I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. You'll find something similar in verse 21. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. And what have we got in this young man here tonight? It's very interesting whenever we look unto him. We see, dear friends, a great decision in verse 18. But not only do we see a great decision in verse 18, dear friends, we also see a great confession. A great confession tonight. Because he says in those two verses, he said, Father, I have sinned against heaven. He says, Father, I have sinned against God. And you know tonight, dear friend, all sin is against God. We're living in a day and age, dear friends, when people make light of sin. Sin isn't perhaps what people years ago would have thought it was sin. We're living in a day and a permissive society. Anything seems to go today. It doesn't matter what it is. Look at our governments. Look at our countries. Look at our nation. Look at the nations of the world tonight. Nobody recognizes sin for what it is tonight. And sin tonight, dear friends, will take you further than you want to go. You might want to go out tonight and enjoy the pleasures of sin just like this young man here. When we wrote those earlier verses that we read together, it says he took everything with him and went out into a far country. It says he wasted his substance and riotous living. Having wasted his substance, we see just how far down the line he goes in those verses there. It tells me in verse 14, and when he spent all there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. We see the dissatisfaction that there is there tonight. You know, we see some of our young people out in the streets, the teenagers and the older folks tonight. If you go across the town there, perhaps on a Friday or Saturday night, it would break your heart to see some of the things that are happening. I have a son there, and he's in the ambulance service there, and he tells me none of the ambulance men like to work night shift on Friday or Saturday or Sunday night because of the situations that they encounter across the town. It's not only in the city here, but in other parts of the province too. There's that generation of young people coming up, and it's just love for today and forget about tomorrow. And that's what happened to this young man here. He was living for today. What his inheritance that he got from his father, he took it and he used it. He burned it all up in a short space of time. Living for today. Didn't care about tomorrow. And we see the dissatisfaction that there was. And not only do you see the dissatisfaction, look at verse 15. We see the abasement, and it says he went and joined himself to a citizen in that country and sent him into his fields to feed swine. What a picture tonight for this young man. I mean, think of the home that he came from. Think of the father that he had, and the wealth that the father had, and the background that the young man had, and the upbringing that he had. Yet and only turned his back on all that. The way down to the far country, and then it was out in the far country, then he realized his mistake. And he comes in then on verse 18. What a beautiful verse it is tonight. He says, I will arise and go. I will arise and go. I thank God tonight, dear friends, for the night that I arose and went to Calvary. This young man here, he realizes where he is tonight. He realizes, friends, this evening that he's on a downward trend. One of the previous verses says, when he came to himself. You know, sometimes that's what happens when the Spirit of God comes upon us and reveals ourselves to ourselves as we are before God. And whenever we see ourselves as we are before God, then that's the time to move. And this young man, it tells me in those verses here, verse 7, and when he came to himself, verse 17, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. And we find him getting up out of that situation there. We see him leaving the swine troughs of the world here. We see him coming to his Father. Oh, what a place to be tonight, dear friends. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, there's no better place for you to come tonight than to come to the Heavenly Father. Just like this young man come to his Father here. See, this is a parable, an earthly story with a heavenly meaning here. And he comes to his Father. If we look at these verses here, we see a great decision to rise and go to his Father. We also see in those verses, dear friends, a great confession. I've already mentioned that, a great confession there. Look at verse 20. When he arose and came to his Father, but there's a great way off, his Father saw him and had compassion and fell on his neck and kissed him. I want you to see, dear friend, tonight, there's a great compassion tonight. The Lord Jesus this evening is full of compassion. We come back into the gospel, it says when he saw the multitude, he was full of compassion tonight. The Lord Jesus tonight, dear child of God and the unsaved together, is full of compassion for us this evening, friends. He's full of love and sympathy for us this evening. And maybe you're here tonight and you're still outside of Christ. Maybe you're thinking like this young man is here, I need to get back to my Father. The moment that you come back to our Heavenly Father tonight, dear friends, the Lord Jesus, he's full of compassion tonight. He wants to take you tonight. He wants to bring you tonight into the fold and into the family of God. And so we see a great decision and a great confession. We see a great compassion. Look at verse 22, if you would with me, please. And the Father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand. And shoes on his feet. What a thought to you. We see, dear friends, a great reconciliation. A great reconciliation. The Father said to the servants, bring forth the best robe. You know, my Bible teaches me that all my righteousness are as filthy rags in the sight of God. And whenever I come to the Father and bring that confession before the Father, and the Father's compassion is put upon me tonight, friends, then I receive that robe of God's righteousness tonight of God. Oh, what a place to be tonight. I'm over 40 years saved now. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else tonight. I look back on the world that I left behind me tonight. I thank God this evening that I'm dressed not in my own righteousness tonight, but in the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ this evening. Bold shall I stand before the throne tonight. Not in my own righteousness, but in the righteousness that is mine this evening in our Lord Jesus Christ. This young man here got a robe. He got a robe of righteousness there. If you look at the verse, not only do we see that he got a robe of righteousness, friends, but he got a ring of reconciliation. I've often thought about this. I remember many, many years ago before I was married, when I was going with my wife, I said to her one night, we were out together in the car, I said, we'll go to Belfast on Saturday. Went to Belfast and went up to visit my sister yonder, and then we came down into the city of Belfast, my sister and her husband with us. And I said to my sister, I said, you two go on. And they went away on their own, and my wife and I, we walked through Belfast to come to a jeweler's shop. Walked into the jeweler's shop, and I bought the engagement ring in the jeweler's shop. We were reconciled. You see, dear friends, I love to sing that lovely hymn. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me, not to the years of time alone, but for eternity tonight. I thank God tonight I am reconciled to God by the death of the Son. Brought into the fold and family of God tonight. Look back in my life, I used to be a child of the devil. No longer a child of the devil tonight, child of God and joined heirs with Christ tonight. The robe of righteousness, the ring of reconciliation. Look at it says in the verse, something else in there. It says, put shoes on his feet. Shoes speaks of sonship, friends, tonight. This young man, I can see him coming back from the swine troughs here. He's probably on his bare feet here. If not, his shoes are being well worn out. He comes back to the Father here. The Father gets that beautiful robe and puts it on. He gets a ring and he puts it on his finger, and the two of them are reconciled together. And then the Father says to the servant, he says, get him shoes and put the shoes on his feet. Sign of sonship tonight. You see, dear friends, in those days the servants went in their bare feet. And you know, what are shoes for? Shoes are for walking in. And you know, tonight, dear friends, the Christian life is a walk. This is the way you walk, you in it. What a thought for you and for me this evening, dear friends. To be on the Christian pathway, to be walking hand in hand with Jesus. A lovely little hymn comes to mind just now. Once for my poor sin sick soul, Christ at every burden roll. Now I walk redeemed and whole, hand in hand with Jesus. Hand in hand we walk each day, hand in hand along life's way. Walking thus I cannot stray, hand in hand with Jesus. I'm no longer a child of the devil tonight. If you're not saved tonight, this meeting, you're a child of the devil. You're a child of the devil. And God says to you tonight, he says, look, you come like this young man here and be reconciled. Become a child of God. I want you to see something else as we come to the end of that part of it there. Look at verses 23 and 24. It said, bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he was found. What happened here? Oh, there's great rejoicing, friends, tonight. There's great rejoicing tonight. Oh, what a picture tonight. Do you remember whenever we finished in the last one there, the Lord said they weren't going to sit at his supper because he bid them and they refused to come. So you refuse to come tonight, dear friends. You won't sit at the supper. This young man here, he came to the Father. Having come to the Father, we see the joy that there is here. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and he began to be merry. Turn with me, if you would, please, to another passage of Scripture. It's Luke chapter 16 and coming into the chapter verse 19. Verse 19 of Luke chapter 16. There was a certain rich man which was clothed with purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which laid his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked the sores. And it came to pass that when the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and was buried. And then hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy upon me. And send Lazarus that I may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in these flames. But Abraham said, Son, remember thou and in thy lifetime receivest the good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now is he comforted and are tormented. And beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they would not pass from hence to you cannot, neither can ye pass to us that would come from hence. Then he said, I pray you therefore, Father, that thou would send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that they may testify unto him, lest they come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear him. He said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. He said unto him, that they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they persuade the one rose from the dead. I want you to see this passage of Scripture tonight, friends. A great invitation to a great supper. A great decision for a great sinner. A great separation for a great sentence tonight. That's what we're looking at here. And if we look at this one closely enough, you'll find tonight, dear friends, it's not a parable. It's a true event that's taken place. And I just want to look at it very, very closely tonight. Verse 19 that we read together. This rich man, he was clothed in purple and fine linen. We want to see the rich man, dear friends, in his purple and in his palace. This rich man, he wanted for nothing. We can see his servants there. And perhaps maybe if we could bring it across to the day and hour in which you and I live tonight, maybe he would see a Rolls Royce or two or something like that, or one of those big four-wheel drives sitting in his drive, or maybe a server left them there. Maybe a swimming pool there. Maybe horses there. This man was very, 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 very rich. We see the palace that he lived in. We see the purple that he's dressed on here. So we get the picture of the rich man. We also see in verse 20 and 21 the poor man's poverty in the poor man's place. Here's poor Lazarus tonight. What a spectacle Lazarus must have been. As that rich man would have passed Lazarus day by day, maybe several times a day, going to and from his own house, from his palace, the place where he lived, Lazarus would have been lying there in agony, full of sores. the dogs would have come along and licked the sores of Lazarus. And we see poor Lazarus tonight, lying at the rich man's gate. It tells me something in those other verses that we read together. It tells me that the rich man died. What have these two men got in common tonight, friends? The both of them have got life. The difference is the rich man's rich and the other man's poor. But from these verses tonight, we can see that both these men were candidates for death. And they were certainly candidates for eternity. And they were candidates tonight, dear friends, for judgment. I want to just repeat that again. Both of them were candidates for death. Both of them were candidates for eternity. Both of them were candidates for judgment. And whenever we look at it a bit more closely here, we see something here regarding Lazarus in verse 22. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Here's Lazarus, now he's dead. He had nothing of this world's goods. His life has left him. And it tells me that he's been carried to the angels into Abraham's bosom. Place of security. Place of eternal rest there for him. Tells me also in the same verse, verse 22, the rich man died also and was buried. There's a difference here. Lazarus was carried from his deathbed right into Abraham's bosom. The rich man died and he opened up his eyes in hell. And dear friends, if you and I this evening were able to speak to that rich man, we have already seen it in the verses that we read together. He would be saying to each one of us tonight, look, whatever you do, you make sure that you don't come to this place. I've often thought about it tonight, friends. I remember speaking to some people some time ago, speaking to a lady in particular who was doing the doors in Limavady. I'll never forget that lady. She'd be a bit nasty to us, and that can happen at times, but finally she settled down. And I remember saying to the other fellow in the cell, she says, if my mother died without Christ, if that's good enough for her, it's good enough for me. I never forgot that lady. And what am I trying to say tonight? Tonight, dear friends, you and I have loved ones that have died without Christ, and tonight they're in a lost eternity. And you and I tonight are the last people they want to see there. That dear lady I'll tell you about, Limavady, her mother has died without Christ and got out into a lost eternity into that terrible place called hell. Her daughter is the last person in the world she'll want to see in hell. That mother tonight is living in an agony, eternity in agony tonight, in torment tonight. It's possible tonight in this little gathering that you have loved ones, and I have loved ones tonight that are in a lost eternity. And they don't want to see you and I there tonight. I've often thought, I know some people where maybe the husband is saved and the wife isn't. There's other cases perhaps where the wife is saved and the husband isn't. I've often thought that tonight. What a tragic scene we have there tonight when we look at that. Should that partner that isn't saved, or that husband or wife tonight that isn't saved, die without Christ, they're going to go out into a lost eternity. Never to see their other husband or wife again. To be separated from them. I thank God tonight, dear friends, that over 20 years come August, the Lord took my wife from me. And she's in heaven tonight. She's with the Lord tonight. And I thank God tonight, dear friends, that one day I'm going to be reunited with her again. I'm going to be reconciled with her again. There's going to be rejoicing when I meet her again in heaven. And look at these two here. Lazarus straight into Abraham's bosom. The rich man died and was buried. What a sad end for this rich man here. Died and was buried. Have you ever stood at a graveside and see somebody dying without Christ and being buried in the ground? What hope have they got? None whatsoever. None whatsoever. tells me something here about this man in verse 23. It says, and in hell he lifted up his eyes and being in torments and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. You see, tonight, dear friends, if it's physical pain, it's torture. If somebody was to take my hand, my arm tonight and screw it up my back, maybe to hit me and cut me, whatever, that would be torture. That's physical. But whenever it comes to torment tonight, dear friends, it's mental. It's in the mind. It's in the mind. And if you're here tonight and you're not saved, you're going into a lost eternity. Whenever you're not lost eternity, dear friends, your mind will be telling you. Remember the nights you used to sit in an independent Methodist church in your buildings? And you heard the gospel. And you heard the invitation going out to come to the feast. And you refused it. Torments tonight. Notice what he says in verse 24. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Too late now for mercy. Too late for mercy, dear friends. Whenever we leave the scene of time, mercy's gone. I love that lovely hymn. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon ever is multiplied to me there. My burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Friends, tonight you die without Christ and there's no mercy. Mercy's gone. Mercy's gone. The day of opportunity is gone. Here's this man and he's crying here. Have mercy on me and send Lazarus that I may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. See the plea that there is here now. This is a man, dear friends, that went day by day, walked past Lazarus as Lazarus lay on the ground full of the sores. This rich man would have passed him and maybe would have thrown him an odd crumb from time to time. What a difference there is now. Look what Abraham says to him in verse 25. Abraham said, Son, remember thou in thy lifetime receiveth the good things, and likewise Lazarus, evil things. But now is he comforted, now tormented. What is Abraham saying to him? He says, look at your memory. Think about your memory. Use your memory. Use your memory. He said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received thy good things. Here's the memory now. I was speaking to a fellow this morning and he got a bit of a fright during the week. He took a little bit of trouble and he thought it was a health wish and he thought it was a money stoke that he had. He took him into hospital. I think it was Monday night. He kept on Tuesday, I think it was, and maybe let him out again on Wednesday. And he phoned me on Wednesday to see if he was right. I was going to see him on Wednesday night. He phoned me to see if he was right. And I was speaking to him this morning. He says, you know, Harry, he says, I keep forgetting things. I said, I wouldn't worry too much about it because I keep forgetting things too. But I can tell you tonight, dear friends, if you die without Christ and you're in lost eternity, you'll not be forgetting things. You'll not be forgetting the nights that you sat in New Bolton's Independent Methodist Church and you heard the word of God coming from this pulpit here and you rejected it and you died without Christ and went out into your lost eternity. Your memory will torture your friends tonight. You'll be in torments with your memory. That's what God is teaching us here. This, dear friends, is not a parable here. This is the true incident here that God's revealing to us tonight. He says, you're tormented, now you're tormented. Look at verse 26. Besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed. A great separation for a great sentence. I want you to think about that for a moment or two, friends. Maybe you've been to Belfast, or maybe you've gone to some of the ports, and you've got on a boat and you've crossed maybe to Scotland or somewhere across the water. There's a distance there. Say, between Larne or between Belfast and somewhere in Scotland, a day and a man, there's a distance there. It can be measured. You get on an airplane in Belfast and you fly to New York because the distance there can be measured. Whenever I look at this word here, we've been looking tonight at the word great. It says in this verse, there's a great goal fixed. Can it be measured tonight, friends? The distance between hell tonight and heaven cannot be measured for the unsaved. It's permanent. It's permanent. It tells me there's a great gulf. There's a great distance there tonight that cannot be measured. It says it's fixed. It's permanent. Not only is it great and fixed and permanent tonight, friends, but it's eternal. It's eternal tonight. Verse 26. I want you to see his present position. His past position in verse 25 is to remember the good things that he received in your lifetime. That was his past position. That's all gone now. All his wealth now, different tonight, dear friends, is no good to him. He's in a lost eternity. He's left it all behind him. I remember hearing one time some of us were talking at work about someone who had passed away, and somebody asked the question, how much did he leave? Another fellow says he left it all. All his wealth was left behind him. That man's wealth is no good to him tonight, dear friends. That was his past position, his wealth. His present position tonight, dear friends, is permanent. It's eternal. There's a great chasm tonight that's impossible. It cannot be passed tonight. It's permanent. It's eternal. He goes on in verse 26, verse 20, he says, I have five brethren that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place. You see, dear friends, he's praying now for his brethren. It's too late. Too late now. His prayer hasn't been answered. His prayer won't be answered. Verse 24. Send Lazarus, he says, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water. Cool my tongue, for I am tormented in the flames. Verse 28, I have five brethren to be testified unto them, lest they also come unto this place of torment. There's two prayers, if you like, or two pleas that never were answered as far as that man was concerned. And can I say just tonight, dear friends, very, very briefly in closing, if that man's five brethren didn't receive the word of God, didn't receive the invitation, accept the invitation to the supper, and they've died without Christ, they're in the same eternal place tonight as their brother was, at six of them there tonight. Can you see that little family? Him first, the rich man. Five brothers coming after him into a lost eternity. Can you see the seriousness of that tonight? Just to finish with, I want to give you a few little thoughts. Our Heavenly Father this evening has given us a great invitation to a great feast. I was reading it this afternoon there, Revelation 19, the marriage supper of the Lamb. Oh, can you see that tonight, friends? That time, if you like, whenever we leave the scene of time and we go into the presence of the Lord and we sit together around the marriage supper of the Lamb, we see the Lord Jesus in all his beauty and all his glory. There'll be rejoicing there. Rejoicing there. Just to be in the presence of the Lord. Yet though whenever we go into the other place, the Bible tells us there is weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. I just want to make an appeal just very, very briefly. Will you refuse tonight like those that refused in the first passage of Scripture that we read together? Be like a rich man, open up your eyes in hell and be in torments for eternity. Somebody has said that this torment is maybe for a short space of time. We can maybe cope with it and live with it. But tonight, dear friends, is for eternity. Maybe get buried and open up our eyes in the lost eternity. You make a great decision like the young man that we learned about there in the second passage that we read together. Great decision. I'll go to my Father and say to my Father, confess to my Father, I'm a sinner. Lord, I need to be saved. I want you to come into my life, Lord Jesus, my Savior. Be reconciled. Be reconciled to God. Our time is gone, friends. I've gone a little bit over my time. Apologize for that. But I just want to bring before you tonight, dear friends, the consequences of living a life and dying a death without Christ. Separated from God throughout the countless ages of eternity tonight. I would really love to be able to take unsaved folk and take them, as it were, by faith, right over hell and get them to look into hell and see hell tonight for what it really is. I would love to be able to do that tonight, friends. I'm sure tonight that there are millions in that place, that terrible place, that have died in their sin without Christ and have gone out into a lost eternity. And if you're here tonight and you're not saved, don't let that happen to you. God gives you that invitation tonight to come to that marriage supper. Come to that feast. He's prepared a great feast to you, for you. Will you come to it tonight? Come and put your trust in the Lord Jesus, your Savior. Let's pray together. Time is gone. We're not going to sing another hymn. Dear loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee again, Lord, for the simplicity of Your precious Word. Lord, the invitation has gone out from this place for years, Lord, has gone into eternity. Night after night, Word of God has been faithfully proclaimed and the Gospel proclaimed from this pulpit. And yet, Father, people have sat under the sound of Your Word. Night after night they've gone out. They've refused to come to that great supper that has been prepared for them. And yet, Father, tonight we thank Thee that the prodigal son, Lord, could realize that where he was in life wasn't where he should be, and he didn't have to be there. And he realized, loving Father, as Thy Word tells us, he came to himself, came to his senses. Oh, that men and women and young people and boys and girls in these days in which we live would come to themselves, see their lost condition before a holy God and come and confess. We thank Thee tonight that Thou that God is full of compassion, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and the faith in our Lord Jesus. Thank Thee, Lord, tonight for Lazarus. Thank Thee, loving Father, tonight he's in Your presence. But one day our Father will meet him there, will be with him there, Lord. We'll spend eternity with him there. And as a little hymn says, I want to see my Savior first of all, before many others I shall call. I want to see the Lord Jesus and look in His face and look at His hands, Lord. See Him for what He is, who He is. See the beauty and the glory and the majesty that He is. Singing, Lord, joy, oh, the joy of singing together. And yet, Father, tonight we think of this rich man that we've been thinking about very briefly. Today, without Christ, good into a lost eternity, be tormented in the flames of hell. Oh, what a consequences tonight, Father. Lord, should there be any unsaved in this gathering, we pray, our Father, Thou would indeed speak to them. Help them to realize tonight, loving Father, and they need to get right with God. They need to be born again of the Spirit of God, we pray. So, Father, be with us as we separate. Bless the homes, Lord, we come from and our families. And again, Father, I pray for my own family tonight and for the families of the folk here that aren't saved. We pray, loving Father, Thou would be merciful unto them, Lord. Be a little bit more long-suffering with them. And bring them through to saving faith in the Lord Jesus, we pray. Bless Your people here, Father. Bless the witness, Lord. We thank Thee for them. Bless Your dear servant, Jonathan, Father, as he ministers week by week. And again, Lord, we ask that indeed Thou would give him fruit for the labor in the days that lie ahead. Remember the open airs, Lord, and the different organizations and meetings that have been arranged throughout the week. Loving Father, we ask Your blessing upon him just now in our Savior's name. Amen. Amen.